Hello and welcome to the Mosquito Minute, brought to you in partnership with the Johns Hopkins Malaria Research Institute. I'm Roshka Subban, Africa correspondent at the Naked Scientists, reporting from the front lines of malaria research, mosquito control, and the fight to save lives across the continent. A child dies from malaria roughly every minute, a stark reminder of why urgent action is still needed. Driven to end malaria, now we can, now we must, is the theme of this year's World Malaria Day, marked on the 25th of April. Established in 2007 by the World Health Organization, the day grew out of Africa Malaria Day and continues to drive efforts to reduce deaths, particularly across this continent. Africa still bears around 95% of global malaria cases and deaths, making it central to elimination efforts. This year also marks 25 years of the Johns Hopkins Malaria Research Institute, which has helped shape modern malaria control strategies. There is progress, from next-generation insecticide-treated nets to vaccines like TRSS malaria vaccine and R21 malaria vaccine. Advances in science, policy, and funding are accelerating the path toward elimination. I'm Roshka Subban in Johannesburg. We're now going to examine the focus of World Malaria Day with Chris Smith and Ashley Burkett, Global Head of Bacterial and Parasitic Diseases at PATH, Center for Vaccine Innovation and Access.
Thanks, Roshka, and a very warm welcome to you, Ashley, to the Mosquito Minute. Perhaps you could tell us, first of all, what is the focus of this year's World Malaria Day?
So the theme for World Malaria Day this year is really about driving to end malaria. The approach is to continue to protect lives today, save as many lives as we can along the way, but really strive for a future where we're completely free from the scourge of malaria. The challenges we face are that we still have significant numbers of deaths from malaria every year, over 600,000 deaths, about 250 million cases of malaria. And we're starting to see anti-malarial drug resistance, extreme weather events are impacting patterns of transmission of the parasite, and global conflict all pose challenges to malaria control. Also, funding for malaria has plateaued in recent years. Despite those challenges, we have a lot of progress and opportunities, and I think this is what's giving us some real optimism about the future. The first vaccines against malaria are now rolling out in 25 countries, where very soon they'll be protecting about 10 million children. We're seeing increased use of drug-based treatments, so seasonal malaria chemoprevention. This is a highly effective method for treating children during the rainy season to protect them from malaria, and that tool is expanding across Africa. We have new mosquito nets. These have been one of the key tools in reducing the burden of malaria in young children over the years, and we're starting to see next generation nets rolled out across sub-Saharan Africa, and they're addressing some of the insecticide resistance challenges that we saw with the previous nets. And then finally, new technologies. So we're going to need new technologies, and there's some really exciting advancements that are still in early stage development, but have the potential to really tip the balance in our favor as we move from control towards elimination and eradication over the coming years.
And what are those technologies?
So some of the technologies, we're certainly hoping to have better vaccines, which have got the potential to have huge impact. New drug-based treatments, longer-lasting drug-based treatments, and then some very revolutionary types of approaches like genetically engineered mosquitoes so that we could really target the transmission of the parasites really at the source with the mosquitoes.
Now, you mentioned the vaccines, and that's worth looking at because we are now beginning to see this rolling out. How effective are they, though?
These are not the panacea that replaces all of the other tools that we've used over the years. We need to continue to use the other tools. Having said that, in clinical studies, these vaccines have provided about a 50% reduction in malaria after three doses of the vaccine. And that protection can be prolonged with a fourth dose in the second year of life. So those are sort of clinical settings when we're evaluating the vaccines under very controlled conditions. But what's exciting now is that we're starting to see evidence for how the vaccines really work in a real world situation, the type of data that you cannot get from these carefully controlled clinical studies. And I think a few of the really exciting data points that we've seen over recent years are first and foremost, a significant drop in mortality, about a 13% reduction, and then substantial reductions in hospitalization associated with severe malaria. So we're starting to see some very significant impacts in real-world situations.
With vaccine campaigns, there's often a two-pronged benefit here, isn't there? In the sense that on the one hand, there is the return for the individual who gets vaccinated. You've just alluded to that. But also, yes, there's a public health level benefit, which is if someone isn't catching something, they're not giving it to somebody else. Do we have an insight into to what extent vaccination will help us with that, the transmission of malaria?
That's certainly something that will be looked at. But I think one of the reasons to be cautious with this particular vaccine is it's only been implemented in very young children. So children start to get vaccinated about 5 months of age. They've completed their course in the second year of life, but the immunity wanes fairly quickly. And we know that parasite transmission isn't just the responsibility or caused by infections in young children. Also, adolescents and adults are also responsible for perpetuating the transmission of the parasite. So it's unlikely that by just targeting very young children, we're going to have a major impact in transmission of the parasite at a community level.
If you could write a really big check tomorrow to fund an intervention, where would you put the money? Where needs resourcing?
I think we need to do two things. I think first and foremost, we have to make sure that we're maximizing the utility of the tools we have today. We need to make sure that the tools we have that are proven, that we know work, are available to every child in sub-Saharan Africa that can benefit from them, first and foremost. But secondly, I think we do need more investment in research. And I honestly do believe that a vaccine is going to be a key element of elimination campaigns in the future. And future vaccines need to not only prevent disease and death in young African children, as the current vaccines do, but ultimately we need vaccines that are going to work in all ages and prevent transmission of the parasite, not just disease and death. And we still have some biological challenges on how do we actually do that, but we're making progress. And I think investments in the right places right now could really accelerate the efforts to develop vaccines that are going to accelerate elimination and eventual eradication of malaria-causing parasites.
Is that a realistic prospect? How long do you think it's going to be before you and me get together for an interview like this and we're not celebrating World Malaria Day, we're celebrating World Eradication of Malaria Day?
I think it's absolutely possible. I'm very confident. I mean, I've been working in this field for over 30 years and seen huge progress. I think having the first vaccines now out there and starting to show the type of impact that we're seeing, I think has really given a boost to the whole community that this is possible. And I think some of the approaches that we're using, which is building on these first generation vaccines, adding additional components to them to make them more efficacious, targeting different stages of the parasite so that if we don't get all of the parasites at the first attempt, we can target them at the next stage of the life cycle. I'm really confident that over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see significant advancements in our vaccines against malaria.
My thanks to Ashley Birkett and Chris Smith. The Mosquito Minute, brought to you in partnership with Johns Hopkins Malaria Research Institute. You can now follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn. Music in the program is sponsored by Epidemic Sound, perfect music for audio and video productions.